I'm going to tell you quite a bit about myself as I go through this story today. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about who I am, because this is who I really am. And those of you who are mothers and grandmothers and wives, you know this is really who you are. I am the mother of Josh, Jake, and Caitlin. Hey, guys. And Jamie, my daughter in love, my Jake's wife over here, and then my handsome husband, Randy. We've been married 35 years this year. And that is not all my family. I've got to start putting these people in the slide. This is my new son-in-law-to-be, who will marry my daughter, Caitlin, in July. So I'm going to have Grant Taylor, who will be my son-in-law. And then, if I can even say this without crying, we're expecting our first grandbaby. Now, y'all probably have grandchildren, but they're not like mine. Because this is the most outstanding baby in utero ever. I can already tell that he is probably going to graduate from college at 6, because he's just the smartest kid already. And he's keeping his little mommy on her toes for sure, because he's very, very active. But Beau Thomas Kirby will be born in the middle of May, and he will add a joy to our lives that everyone who is a grandparent tells me you can't even imagine what it's like. I'll tell you how bad it is. How bad I am about it. A friend of mine, when she found out I was having my first grandbaby, bought me a book. And she said, this is something for you to read now and read after Beau's born. The name of the book, I can't even say it without crying. I Loved You Before You Were Even Born. I can't read the book. Because every time I start reading, I do this, I just cry. So I'm going to be a basket case once he gets here, because they live in Kansas City. We live in Louisiana. Any of you from Kansas City? Any in that area? They go to Overland Park. So you may be seeing a lot more of me up in that area. I told my husband we're looking for townhouses, and I hope he can come visit, because I may have to move. But this will be an amazing thing for us to happen. But now you know a little bit about me. But I don't know anything about you, and I don't like to just talk to total strangers. So when I count to three, will you tell me your name and where you're from? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, so nice to meet you. So good to be here. And I mean it. There's nothing like Tulsa. There really isn't. I've been blessed to speak here numerous other times on other subjects, and there's nothing like what we experienced last night when we were singing, and Keith Lancaster led us, and as far as I'm concerned, Jesus just come back right then, and we're just still raising our hands and praising Him. It was just a beautiful service. I love being here. I'm really thankful that you came to my class today. I know we're the only woman's class meeting at 2:00, so that probably had something to do with it, but I don't know how many of you've noticed that there's only 3 of us women speaking at Tulsa this year. I don't know what that means, but I'm grateful I'm one of them. Thankful for Shane and Terry and Jason, and for giving me this opportunity to come and talk with you, because I am passionate about what I'm going to share with you. And guess what? When you walk out of this room today, I hope you are equally passionate with me about what I want to share with you today. You are a woman of influence. Think right now, for just a moment, of one person that you know you have influence over. I want you to think right now about some woman in your life who has influenced you to be the woman that you are today. And I want you to know that generationally, you are influencing people right now who will have a difference made in their life because of you and the life you're living. Generational influence is something that I'm passionate about. I just can't even imagine what our church family would be like if we didn't have women who are passing on their faith through their church, through their families. How many of you have been a Bible school teacher? I figured you're always the Bible school teacher. How many of you have ever taught infants, toddlers, in a Bible class? Have any of them grown up? Isn't it amazing to see those babies now having babies? And knowing that you had a part in that, that one of the reasons they're faithful in the church is because of you, that's huge, y'all. That's not little. That's a big, gigantic influence in our church. Now, when you're sitting there wiping bananas off their face and getting crumbs off the floor after they all leave and reminding the mom of the passy they left, you may not have had any comprehension that one day you were training a preacher or a Bible class teacher or the daddy or the mom of someone who was now training her children. But you did that. Women are amazing what we do. I love some of the things that I have heard about mothers. These are some of my very favorite quotes about women and moms and wives. Mother love is the fuel that enables a normal human being to do the impossible. Amen. Albert Einstein, noted genius, says you do not really understand something unless you can explain it to your grandmother. And that's a genius talking. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all of my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. George Washington, the father of our country, attributed his greatness, who he was as a man, to a woman, his mother. A woman that he called mom, mommy, mama. Nancy Reagan said this, one of my favorite things. A woman's like a tea bag. You can't tell how strong she is until you put her into hot water. You know that about yourself, don't you? Haven't there been times, stages in your life where you said, I did not know I could do that. I had no idea I was strong enough, courageous enough, loving enough, forgiving enough, patient enough to do that. You never know till you get put in a situation what you're really capable of. And I know that God's women really stand up in hot water. Dave Berry, this is my favorite. If a woman has to choose between catching a ball and saving an infant's life, she will choose to save the infant's life without even considering that there's a man on base. You put a group of families at a park, a little city park. Everybody's out there doing their family thing, kids on the playground. You got a group of moms, wives that's standing here doing their talk, talk, talk. You got a group of daddies, husbands sitting over there doing their talk, talk, talk. A child falls off the slide and screams. Who goes and gets them out of those two groups? Every single mom. It didn't even have to be your kid or grandkid. And you are going to go and save that kid. What are the dads doing? Talk, 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 talk. they're saying, oh, I hope she goes and checks on that. And a woman can say more in a sigh than a man can say in a sermon. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Women are powerfully influential, and I want you to know for sure that God needs you. God needs every single one of us in His kingdom to be busy about the business of kingdom work. So let me ask you something. I know you're here, so I probably know the answer to this question. Are you a busy woman? Isn't it the same in all churches that the busy women are the same busy women and they're always doing the business and they're always busy? Isn't that the truth? How are you?
I'm good.
Busy, busy women. I think I'm fixing to get you busier. So be ready. Okay. How old are you? You may not be busy yet. We'll see. I want you to think about the busyness in your life and whether it's God business or your business. Because I really want to charge women for the next 30 years of my years of ministry to be busy about God's work. To be busy in the kingdom. To be building the kingdom of God. And you know, I'm so passionate about this because of that baby that's coming. I want that baby to have a church. I want his children to have a church. And as a marriage and family therapist, I work with families that if we stay where we are right now in the churches of Christ, we will not have a church for Bo and Bo's children and grandchildren. We are one generation away from losing our church. We have got to get serious about the business of kingdom work. And I'm going to tell you something today that you probably never heard this before, but I think this is really, really important message. I want to talk to you that God has given you supernatural powers. Now, some of you may have your Superman shirts on today, you know. You have a giant S on your chest right now. I want you to change it, though, from Superwoman or Superman and call it supernatural. Because in 1 Peter 3, God gave to all of His women supernatural powers. You may be familiar with this passage. It's one of my very favorite passages about women. And you know, there's not a lot of passages directly talk about women in the Bible. We're not mentioned a whole lot compared to general believers, general people of faith, and men. Women have a few passages, and this is one of the best. Because in this passage, God gave us this power. He said, wives, you have the power that if you have a husband who is an unbeliever, some even versions say a pagan or a heathen, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Instead, it should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great what? Worth. To who? That's a God-given thing that you have within you. You have the power through God to help this man that you love, who does not even believe in God, who doesn't even live a life that way. By preaching and nagging and getting on his case all the time, change his life. What does 1 Peter say? Without a word. Now, I don't know about you, but I have lots of words. And I feel that most of the time my husband needs to hear a lot of them. And bless his heart, over 35 years he's heard a lot. I think the normal woman is given 50,000 words a day. He says, I use 50,000 when I'm at work and I use 50,000 more when I get home. But God says, my power is not in my words. My power is in my behavior. It's the way that I love Him and respect Him. It's the way that I'm kind and patient and forgiving and tolerant and unselfish with my husband. That's what would turn my husband's heart to the Lord. He would see my love for him and he would say, where does that come from? How are you able to love me like that? I'm a drunk. I'm an addict. I'm a womanizer. I cuss. I'm awful. I don't even go to church with you. But I've watched you for years. Do you know any women like that who have been watched by their husbands for years and then after 10, 15, 30, 60 years of marriage, they come to know the Lord? She's usually shocked. Wow, where'd that come from? But he watched her. And without her having to say a word, God rose up within her this supernatural power and said, by the behavior of your life, the way that you have loved him, he now wants to love me. Now let me ask you this. You don't have to raise your hand. Are any of you married to believers? Men of faith, men that may even actually be here at the conference with you. If we as women have that much power over an unbeliever, how much more power do we have over a man who's joined with us and yoked with us to love Jesus Christ? Oh my! The sky's the limit then. Because together, what a partnership. What a partnership in the gospel you can have when you're each loving Jesus and loving each other and loving the kingdom work. Women, does God need us? And you know why He needs us? We're different than guys. I don't know if you noticed that. I'm really grateful that finally in 2010, it is politically correct to say that the genders are different. Because we went through 30 years where everybody was all confused about unisex and whether, you know, equal rights meant we're equal to men and that means we're also like men and, you know, all that junky stuff, sorry. But now we're finally realizing men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And we're just different. And guess what? It's okay to be different. And God made us male and female on purpose. Because there's something about the man world that doesn't do kingdom work like the woman world does. Which may be why there's only three of us here at Tulsa. And I'm going to tell you why. It's kind of funny, but anyway, it's not. And you get this. You understand this. My natural calling that I got from God was not to be a preacher or an elder. Now, I do love to talk, and I don't mind getting in front of people, which 99% of people are afraid of getting in front of an audience. Never been that way. I'm the oldest of six kids, and my seventh grade choir teacher called me Motor Mouth, so obviously early I was already had this talent. So I don't mind it. But this is not what God made me for. But there's a lot of men who are made to preach. They are made to share the gospel. There are men who are meant to inspire people to follow the Lord. But there's not many women of us that that's what we were made for. Man, when he fell in that garden, was given an assignment. And you know what it was. In Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve had that horrible, horrible event happen to them where they just took paradise and said, I don't think so. I'm sure I wouldn't be like that if I had been back there. You wouldn't have been either, would you? They did. And God told Adam, from now on, you get out of my garden and you're to work every day. And you know what he told the woman? Your desire from now on is going to be for your husband. Everything that you're about in your DNA is going towards your family. It's keeping this man on track, using your supernatural powers as a woman to keep him focused on my work. And then he said, the next thing was, I'm going to give you a family. And you're going to have a little pain in that family. But he said, I'm making you strong enough to handle it. Because when you get in hot water, you get better. That's not a culture thing. That's not an American thing. That's a God thing. Women were given that power by God because he needs women. And when he gave us a job, his job was not to go preach and teach the gospel, which I hope all of us are doing that. But we don't have to be in a pulpit and we don't have to be at the Tulsa workshop in order to be fulfilled. Because what did I tell you earlier, who I really am? I'm a mama. And I'm fixing to be a grandmama. And my most important job in life is getting those kids to heaven. Anybody in here amen that? I cry a lot, so just you know, ignore it. Because I talk about family all the time. This is what I do with my life, and I just cry all the time. So my daughter just really rolls her eyes. And she told me when we went to get her wedding dress. Now, can you imagine a daughter saying this to Mom? Mom, no tears. That's just not fair. But she knows me, and she knew I would sit there. Oh, Caleb, you're so beautiful. I would have been. So, y'all, I bit holes in my cheeks. I would just turn around and go, until she tried on me one. And when she came down that hall in that dressing room in the one dress, how do you not just tear up? She didn't see it, though. I turned around and took a deep breath and I went, oh, I love it. Do you like it? And she said, Mom, I think this is the one. And then I was like, oh, no, I have to sit down now. That's who we are, isn't it? Our identity is not our careers. I have a PhD. That's not my identity. That's not my do. My identity is what God gave me. He said, for you, the rest of your life, I want you to take care of family. I want you to be in that mindset. I want your DNA to do that. We can't even help it. How many of you have read Emerson Igaritz's book or heard his book, Love and Respect, or been to a seminar? If you've not read it, it is the best book on marriage ever. If you've not read it and you want to help other people or get your own marriage to a better place or just want a great book to read, Love and Respect, he has nailed it. I hate to say it because I'm a huge James Dobson fan, but he kind of missed it on this. But Ephesians 5 by Emerson Igoritz is the finest book out there. He's taken Ephesians 5 and put legs on it, makes it walk. And this is what he talks about in this book about women and men's difference. God tells women to, Ephesians 5, respect your husband. He doesn't tell us to love him. He tells men, love your wife. He didn't have to tell us to love our husbands, even when we want to kill them. You know, how many times we said, I won't divorce you, but I may murder you. We love naturally. We don't have to, I mean, that is just who we are. And when we get in conflicts with a husband, a lot of times it's because we don't feel loved back. Because we're giving them love all the time. I mean, that's who we are. We can't help it. And so what Dr. Igoritz has found out, most conflicts in marriage is because women aren't feeling love from their husbands and men aren't feeling respect. Because guess what? We naturally don't do those things. How many times have I heard a woman say, I'd respect him if he'd act like somebody to respect? How do you respect a man who's not acting respectable? But I don't hear someone saying, I can't love him. Oh, I love him, but we naturally do that because God put that within us to do that. Our heart is family. Okay, what time is it? Okay. They put time limits on these things. I don't know what that's about. I'm terrible at math, so I had to write this down. I'm awful at math. If you have two children in this generation and the six generations after you have two children, your life after six generations will have had direct biological influence over 252 children. Just two children in your generation and every generation after you had two children. I wish I was a math wizard and I could just do all this math in my head and say in three and four, but I'm up to five now. If you have five children in this generation, anybody in here have five kids? Oh, y'all are so precious. That's wonderful. Anybody have over five? How many? I'm the oldest of six. I can sympathize. My mother is not even crazy. And at one time, she had five of us under five because we had twins. And she's not crazy. She's just a real normal, intelligent person. If you have five children in your generation and six generations after you have five children, if computed up, you will have influence almost to 100,000 people, 97,000 people's lives. So let's say that you don't even really have any influence outside of your little home. Generationally, this is your influence. That's amazing, isn't it? Because women have that kind of power. A few years ago, I was doing a lot of teaching in my church. I do a lot of parenting classes, small group parenting. And I also run a counseling center, so I do a lot of therapy with couples. Ooh, hello. And I had a group of young women who were just following me around. And I met with them once a week for Bible study. I did parenting classes. I was just good friends with them. And this group of young women were just hungry for advice, for support, encouragement. It was like, you've been there, done that, and you have the t-shirt, Joniel. How did you do it? How did you get your kids grown up and they're all faithful Christian? How is it that you've been in a marriage for 30 years? How is it that you do this? How is it that you're able to love your husband like this? How, blah, 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 blah. Constant, constant, constant. And I did that for a couple of years, and more of these young women are coming up. And I'm looking around my church with about 800 members on Sunday morning, large church, and I'm realizing they're everywhere in our church family. There's one of me. So I got to do something to duplicate this because I had really, really awesome friends who were at my age and stage in life. Their kids had already left, were at Harding or at college somewhere or the local university or out working, but they were no longer having to raise kids every day. And I was thinking, she knows more than me. She's awesome. She's great. I got to get them together with this group. And these. How do we do that? And I was actually working on my doctorate at the time, and so this was kind of right here in the back of my head while my doctorate was up here. But yet I couldn't let it go. And then one night I was reading in the scriptures and I read Titus 2. In Titus 2, Paul sends Titus to the island of Crete to encourage and inspire the people in the church there. There are 100 little churches on this little tiny island, and they're mainly made up of people who were unbelievers out of a pagan society. So guess what? They weren't like us, maybe, who grew up in the church or had churches on every corner. This is a place they don't know what godly lives look like. They don't have a clue what a Christian is supposed to look like. So Paul tells Titus, you need to go and build up, encourage, and teach the women and the men in your church so that they can teach the younger generation. So I'm reading Titus 2:3 where it says the older women are to train the younger women to do blah, 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 blah. Which, let me see if I have that. Yeah. To train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that nobody will look down on God. And I read that and I thought, wow, how do we do that? That's not happening on a regular, routine, consistent basis in our church. And yet, I see all these older women who are amazing women. Many of them had taught these younger women when they were children, but they're no longer in relationship with them. And then we've got all these young wives, young professionals, young singles, young mamas who need a lot of mentoring and guidance. So this started going around in my head a lot. Have you ever had one of those things that just won't let you go and you just keep wrestling with it? And I'm not a real creative person, so it's not like I sit around and dream up stuff all the time, but this would not let me go. And one night I had gone to sleep and God woke me up in the middle of the night and this name, Heart to Home, came into my brain. And the next morning it was like I couldn't tell God no. It was like, you need to do this now. And I wrote a program and took about 6 months to work with our church family. And we studied Titus 2. We studied mentoring. We tried to really see what God was saying to us as older women. And I developed a program called Heart to Home. That was almost 7 years ago at White's Ferry Road Church of Christ. We have currently 175 women in the program. That's older women and younger women. We meet once a month in homes. We'll have three or four older women who will meet with anywhere from 8 to 12 younger women. And they meet every month for a meal, for Bible study, for fellowship, and for just a sharing time of getting to know each other. So through that length of time, especially like just in my group that I have, that means that I have gotten to know on a very intimate relationship, friendship basis, almost 100 women in my church. That before I just saw them in the foyer and I thought they had cute kids or, you know, I thought they were nice or maybe I'd seen them in my counseling center, but I didn't have a relationship with them. And now they're like my closest friends. They're my prayer buddies. They're people that I love dearly, and I know their struggles, and I know their successes, and I've been in relationship with them. I'm doing that as well as the over 50 heart moms in our church now who are doing that. Now, you just multiply that. I'm not good at math. That is a lot of relationships and friendships that are influencing the next generation just in my church. God couldn't leave me alone. I started getting phone calls from other churches who had heard about our program through other people out in the community. You know, our congregation goes and work, and they're saying, oh, I'm doing this neatest program, Heart to Home. It's so great. And I had other churches starting to call me and say, what are y'all doing over there? So I designed a program that was transportable. You know, now it's a ministry in the box. And I started going all over our community and talking to Baptist churches. It wasn't the Churches of Christ that were calling me. The Baptist churches, I don't know if you're very familiar with the Baptists. Some of you may have been former Baptists at one time until you got into the true church, right? A lot of my very, very dearest friends are believers in just amazingly strong women. And a lot of them are women's ministries, ministers in the Baptist church, and they get paid in the Baptist church. But they told me there was nothing like Heart to Home in the entire Baptist curriculum. And you know, they own their own publishing company. And they didn't have anything like it. So I thought, maybe God really wants me to get serious about this and really make this something that will move. And so part of it was me coming to Tulsa and talking to churches of Christ about Heart to Home and sharing with you this passion of getting connected with the younger women in our church. Because I really do believe, like I told you earlier, we are one generation from losing the church. And that's not a panic thing. That's something that's out there, and the theologians that are out there studying, the preachers are telling you, we are very close to that. Unless we as women who have the heart of family in our DNA start wrapping our arms around this younger generation and becoming their friends and helping them, because we have never, ever had a generation in the history of the United States who's been in a family crisis like we have the generation below us. They are struggling. They have higher divorce rates, more single parenting, more out-of-wedlock births. We have 10 million single parents in the United States now. You have probably quite a few of them in your church. Those men and women need a lot of help and a lot of support to raise those children. How do you get in relationship with them? Now, you may have a class where on Sunday mornings y'all are reaching out to those younger Christians in their 20s and 30s. You may be doing that right now. But a class in a church building like this is never the same as having someone into your home and you fixing a meal and serving it at your table. And they look around and they see your husband's wedding picture and you see your kids' wedding pictures and your grandkids. And all of a sudden, you're not just that old lady that sits up there away from all the young Marys with all the babies. You're not that lady that, I think she taught me in fifth grade. You're her friend. So when you speak, it's kind of like E.F. Hutton used to be, that old commercial. When you speak now, guess what? And what I have found out with Heart to Home, now doing it for all these years, now in 25 churches that I've been in, this is a ministry that every single woman in your church can be in. Do you have a ministry where every single member of your church can be a part of? This is a guaranteed spot for every woman in your church. Regardless of her age and stage, if she's 18 to 100, and our oldest heart mom in our church is 98, and Miss Laurie, who taught half the church in Bible classes, comes and she is vibrant. She has the most gorgeous hair, luxurious hair, and she dresses like something off the New York runway every day, doesn't she? I mean, every time she comes to church, people just like, look at her. I mean, she's totally dressed out, the matching earrings, everything. But we want her in Heart to Home because why? She has a wealth of experience with God. Experience of faith. She and her husband helped establish White's Ferry Road. They were one of the very first, the first membership that built our church. That woman has more experience in her pinky than I have in my whole body. Her walk with the Lord is fabulous. And her three husbands that she's married and buried. We told her she can't get married again because she's like the Black Widow. She said, I'm still kind of thinking about it, though. We want her in our groups. But guess what? If we didn't have Heart to Home, where would Miss Laurie be? There's no place for her to serve in our church. We don't have a ministry made for older women to come and teach and do all that if you don't have a Heart to Home. And I say a Heart to Home because I don't care if you use Heart to Home. You can do your own thing. I would love it, and I want to know about it. I want to hear what you're doing. But from what I'm hearing, when I talk to lots of women throughout this area, if you're from Kansas City, I started one at Overland Park last year, and they have 150 women in their congregation now working and adding more groups all the time. The young women are standing in line, signing up. Please put us on a waiting list. I just want you to do this. I want you to become passionate like I am about helping this generation beneath us to stay loyal to God, to know the Word of God, to be able to pass it on to their children. Our Bible lessons this year, I write the Bible studies every year. Our Bible studies this year come out of Colossians 3:12. The rules for holy living. And we've taken each one of those little virtues and we have just picked it to death. We want to know everything we can about patience. And we want to know how it works with a 3-year-old. We want to know how it works with a husband who just forgets to call when he's going to be late. How do you use patience? What does God want? Why does He want me as a woman to be patient? Now, let me ask you something. If you have a young woman who is 30 years old and she's got three little rugrats at home and she's full-time working, how much time is she going to have during her week to sit down and study patience? And how? And don't you think she probably needs it probably just about more than anybody? But if she's in a group like Heart to Home, she gets that fed into her for 2 to 3 hours once a month, and it's all about helping her. That's what it's all about, helping those young women. We're all about supporting them. So if you have a program like this in your congregation already, please come by our booth and tell me about it. I would love to partner with you and just hear about you. You're probably going to teach me a lot of things I don't even know because of your ministry. But if you don't have this in your church, please come by our booth and find out more about it. We have brought some information to share with you. You also can go to our website, and it tells you all about it. And I just want to tell you a few things about it. Well, I'll get to that in a second. I first have to tell you that I'm only saying this to you before the Lord, and He knows this is true. I am not out promoting me. I'm not out promoting Heart to Home. I am not about getting wealthy. It's just the opposite. In ministry, you're always going in the hole. Or like my husband says, just try to break even. Try to break even. And I'm thankful he says that because he's foot the bill for me for years. I'm not about any of that. I am about making sure all of our kids go to heaven. And I want my friends' kids to go to heaven. And I want every young person in our church to stay faithful to God and to be able to grow our church. And so Heart to Home is just one way to do it, because it helps us as women to have a program, a place where we can connect and make friendships, where we can mentor, where we have close friendships between the generations. Because you may have been like me. When my kids all left and went away to college, there was a huge hole in my life. My house was quiet. I was used to having 20 kids in my kitchen on Friday night, me cooking, and then 1 year, it was gone. I mean, there wasn't any warning. They didn't let me graduate or anything. It was just, I didn't get a certificate, greatest mom in the world, nothing. If you got one of those, I want to see it. It was just over. And it left me with this yearning. I want to be a part of young people's lives. How can I get connected? And I know there's some of you in here who are thinking that. I also, there's probably some of you here who really want to be more involved and more connected. And Heart to Home will get you so connected because it's on a relational issue. I mean, basis. This is not just a job. It's not painting murals on the wall, which is great. It's not packing up medicine boxes to send to Haiti, which is great. This is relational. And I don't know a woman who isn't relational. Because half of our brain is all about people and relationships. That's where God made us. Get you into relationship. And it doesn't matter if you're single, if you're divorced, if you're a young mom, if you're a mom who has launched her kids, if you've been retired from a career 2 and 3 times, it doesn't matter your age, your stage. Heart to Home has a place for you because we need you. Because women need each other, and God needs us. This is our website. And before you go, we have a packet of information. If you would like that, you can come up here. Lauren can come up here. You can't miss Lauren. She's beautiful, and she has gorgeous white hair. Lauren Benson is my assistant, which is another thing God told me to get serious about. God says, I'm 10 miles ahead of you on this ministry. You better get busy. So Lauren came on, and she's helping me stay organized while I get busy. But Lauren has packets of information. It's just a couple of little pamphlets about the ministry. It's got information on how to contact us. There's also a DVD in there, which you can show to a women's committee or to the elders or get people interested in it. It's just a little 6-minute DVD that you can watch. We also have a booth at 612. You can come by and talk to me about it. We'll be here for the next couple of days, and I will be speaking again tomorrow. It's not the same topic. Tomorrow I'm talking about why God needs grandmas, widows, and you. So you can come back at 2 o'clock and hear me again tomorrow. I'm blessed that I get to speak again on Saturday, and that one is Women Living Out Loud and on Purpose, and I'm huge about that. If you think I'm passionate today, wait till you hear me talk about being out loud and on purpose. I love being with you today. I want to talk to every single one of you about how we can help you develop a mentoring program in your church. You do not have to do Heart to Home, but please do something, because God needs women and God needs you. Turn to the person to your left and tell them right now. Wait a minute, you couldn't do that because you got to face each other. Okay. Turn to the person next to you. I don't know. I'm not good at this either. And tell them God needs you right now. Yeah. I love being with you. Praise God for all of you being here. And I hope to see you in the next few days. Talk to me about it, okay? Love you. Bye.